Merge by MP3 Toolkit.
Is God going to do these things to you? No. But you do understand that Satan is the God of this age. Jesus said that, not me, folks. He said that he's the prince of the air. He's the God of this age at the moment because he has a legal right to be here because of the fall of Adam in the garden, and he took away Adam's authority at that point, and Jesus come to buy back that authority and then give it to you and me. Amen? So, he has a right to be here because Adam legally sold his birthright out to this guy. But Jesus come to give us authority so that while we're in this earth, we can live with the blessings. Now, who brings the curses? Not Christ, but the enemy. The curses that we read in the Bible are not about you and me from God. They are about what the enemy will do to us if we're not living the things of God. How many of you understand that? Amen? So let's just take a little bit of time. I'm just going to do a little teaching this morning. And I'm going to do my best not to preach. I say that every time, and I wind up doing a little bit of preaching. But let's try to do a little teaching this morning. Verse 1, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge, that's his word, and his statutes, that's his commandments, and his judgments, and his commandments always. And you know this day, for I speak not with your children, which you have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his outstretched arm, and his miracles, and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and into all his land. He's saying that they didn't see these things. The children of Israel did not get to see these things. They had got themselves in a situation where they never got to see what Jesus did or God did to deliver them from Egypt. Egypt representing sin, or the land of sin, the land of lack, the land of slavery, and the land of not having enough. Amen? Now watch. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. Now watch. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place. What he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben. How the earth opened her up, her mouth, and swallowed them up and her households and her tents and all their substances that was in their possession in the midst of Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts the Lord which he did. Now, he is saying that there was, because of disobedience to God, a lot of people did not see the blessings of God. Now, I want you to catch this morning. When we are in obedience to the Word of God, the blessings are automatic. You don't have to go looking for them. Your eyes will see them. Your life will experience them. You will receive them as part of the covenant that God cut with us. The children of Israel struggled with it, and when they did, they lost those blessings until they got back to serving Almighty God the way that he wanted them to. You see, it wasn't that God was trying to punish them, is he was trying to protect them from themselves and from the enemy or the curse that was upon the earth at that time through the enemy when Adam fell. Are you still with me? Okay. He's saying, I want you to be blessed. But many of these people didn't get blessed because they turned their back on God and they did things their own way. And as a result of that, the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed some alive down into hell. Others had this happened, and so forth. And they never saw the great acts of God because of disobedience to the Lord. You know, I don't get it. I really don't get it. When I read the Word and I see the simple things that he asks out of me so that I can have his very best, why in the world would I want to fight against him and get him to twist the Word, change the Word, so that I can justify how I want to live? And then when I get in a mess, I go to him in anger and blame him. Come on now, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Now listen to me carefully. There's not much that he has asked out of us that we can't do easily. There really isn't. We're the ones that make it tough, not him. We allow our flesh and our minds and our thoughts dominate us and miss out on the blessings that he so desperately wants to give us. Scripture says he's looking to and fro throughout the earth, seeking whom he may bless. Why does he have to seek? Because he's bound himself by his word, and he can't give you what you won't obey him for. I have found over and over again, when I get in line and obey his word, I don't have to ask for what I need. Pastor, you sound like a legalist. I'm far from legalism. What is legalism? Legalism is I've got to do something to impress him to get blessed. No. I've got to do something to impress him to stay out of hell. No. Legalism is I must be good all the time. But God's word says he knows I'm a man. He knows I'm a flawed man. And he knows that he's got me covered through the blood of Jesus Christ. And by grace am I saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of anything that I can do other than receive him by faith. Lest anybody should be able to say, look, Lord, what I have done. Pay attention to me, God. I did this. Now bless me. The only thing he asks out of you is be obedient to his word. And the blessings, it says in the word, these words will run and overtake you. You won't go looking for them. They'll be knocking on your door. Amen. Amen. Ginger and I get blessed all the time. The other day, we went to Sam's. Someone had to go up to Salt Lake, and they needed help over the business thing, and they didn't have a way up there. And Ginger and I took them up there, and they had a way, but their car wasn't in good shape. So we said, oh, we'll take you up there. Got up there, and so while we're up there, we had to go by Sam's and get some stuff. And they have these little free sample things. You stick your card in there, and you get this little free sample packet. And this particular day, it had these little things that you put in the plug-in walls, these little plug-ins to make things smell good. Well, for whatever reason, my card always gives me three of them. Right off the bat, you're only allowed one. But when I go up there, I always get three. And when you go, you know, I stick my card in there again and see what it'll say. It says, you've reached your limit. And everybody standing around me says, how did you get three? I'm favored. I'm highly favored of God. So we take the three, we stick it in our basket, we get up to the counter, and the cashier saw those three in there. She said, hold up just one second. True story. She went over across the aisle and she gathered up 10 more and brought them to us and dropped them in our basket. Now, this may not seem like a big thing to you, but here's my point. She looked at us and she said, I don't know why, but I feel impressed to give you all these others. And she said, you're the first and the only people I have ever done this for. We walk out of there with about 13 of these things, and guess what? We got a whole lot of plugs in this church. It'll smell good in here, amen. So we started giving some away. Why? Because you tithe and you sow, amen. Now listen to me, listen to me. I am favored because I obey. What happens if you miss it? 1 John 1:9 tells me that if I miss it, I go to him and say, Father, I just missed it today. Paraphrasing here. And I repent. The Bible says that he is faithful and just or justified to forgive me and place me back in what? The blessing line. Back in fellowship. When I'm in fellowship with him, I'm in the blessing line. Don't know about you, honey, but I like blessings. Amen. I can stand here and spend the whole morning telling you all the little things that happened to me and Ginger in the week. Just little things. Amen. Now watch what he says here. Down here in verse 8. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong. You may go in and possess the land, that's your blessings, wherever you go to possess it. There's no restrictions where you go. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Amen. Wherever me and Ginger go. It's rarely, I'm going to say this, it is rare that an unsaved or that a saved person ever blesses me and Ginger. Most of the time, it's the unsaved. They just feel led. They don't even know why they had this impression on them to walk up and bless us. We go into the church, go into a restaurant. We go up to pay our bill, and somebody over there has taken care of it already. And I say, who did it? Now, point. These don't look like Christians. I go up here to get, everybody knows I'm a cappuccino fan at Maverick. I can't tell you how many times I've walked in there, walked up to the front to pay my bill, and somebody said up at the cashier, Pastor, it's all taken care of. And I said, who did it? And they'll look out. And they said, I mean, these people look like anything but Christians. And I said, what happened? They said, they just said they felt impressed to buy your cappuccino. That's favor. Blessings that will run and overtake you. Year before last, I wanted this particular chair. It's a massage chair. And you know me, I want the best. I wanted this best chair because I didn't like the looks of the second one. Well, this chair was $4,000. I don't have that kind of money to put into a massage chair. And so we started praying, me and Ginger. And the manager come over and said, do you like that massage chair? I said, I do, but I can't give that. He said, wait just a minute. And he went back there and come back, and he said, will you give this for it? I looked at Ginger and said, we can do that. A whole lot of money came off of that thing. And yet I stood there while the paperwork was being drawn up and others came up and looked at that same chair, and the salesman would say, that's $4,000. And someone would say, well, will you go down? I said, nope. Nope, $4,000 cash. This is how God operates. Now watch this now. We're talking about obedience bringing blessings. He goes on to say, and that you may prolong your days in the land. One of the things that Ginger and I do every day is we confess the word. We'll live long, healthy, whole, blessed, prosperous lives. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I'm not dying. I'm going to be here till Jesus comes back. Whatever length of time it takes to rapture to happen. Yeah, but Pastor, how old are you? I'll be 66 here in a couple of months. This next week, Ginger will be 67. And we're still preaching the gospel. Going to continue to preach it too. Well, what about the devil? Oh, he attacks me all the time. Kenneth Hagin used to say, I've got real good opportunities to get sick or have this happen or quit the ministry or die. But I refuse. God told me in his word, I can live until I'm satisfied. I didn't write that. That's in the word. You don't have to die till you're satisfied. Honey, I ain't satisfied yet. Lord put a promise to me and Ginger several years ago. You're going to have this church 1,000 strong. Well, I don't see 1,000 here yet. When the 1,000 people get here, I may look up and say, okay, Lord. Amen. There's a revival coming. There's not a doubt in my mind. In my prayer time and in my meditation time with God, he has repeatedly put it in my heart that right soon, I'm not quite sure how soon, but there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and this church is going to be one of the hot spots in this whole state. You do understand that this is one of two churches in the entire state of Utah that teaches what we teach here. One of two. One of two. Only one of two. The other one's in Salt Lake. Amen? Now watch this. You'll prolong your days, which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give unto them and to their seed. That's our kids. And land that floweth with milk and honey. What does that mean? That's a land of provision and blessing. Your kids are not supposed to die of drug overdoses early in life. You are not supposed to die prematurely. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, if we judge ourselves when we go before him and stand up here at communion time and be sure we've got our heart right, he said, then you will live long. Amen. Now watch this. For the land whither thou goest to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from where you came out, where you sowed your seed and water it with your foot as a garden of herbs. Now this watering with a foot is meaning that they had to pump it with their foot pumps to bring water into the desert to please the Egyptians so they could make their bricks, their mortar, keep their crops as they built these pyramids. Now watch. Watch it now. But the land whether you goest to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinketh water of the rains of heaven. And the Lord, the land which the Lord God care for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain, the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil, and I will send grass in the fields for your cattle, that they may eat us and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn not aside and serve other gods and worship them. Other gods doesn't mean just some, you know, whatever is out there. He's talking about getting sidetracked and not keeping God first place in our lives. Are you still with me? Amen. Amen. Anything can become a god or an idol in your life. Ain't nobody likes television programs more than I do. But I have to limit myself. I have to be careful what I watch and how much, because I'm no different than anybody else. If I don't watch myself, I will live parked in front of that tube. That could become my God. But you see, all things that we have can become a tool for God. I do an awful lot of watching some wonderful ministers and feeding myself and mentoring myself with my television too. God allows me the pleasure to enjoy it as long as I'm careful what I allow in my spirit. And he also gives me the ability to be fed by some of the greatest men and women of God in the country today. Amen? Everything, there's a balance. There is a balance for everything. Don't go from one end to the other. The Bible says, Jesus said this, the blind leadeth the blind, they both shall fall in the ditch. All God asks is a balance. Too much of one thing is not good for you. Somebody said, can you get too much of God? Well, I'm going to say this, and some of you are going to be crazy. I think I'm crazy. You can become so heavenly minded that you ain't no earthly good. What does that mean? I have known people who got so much into God, their Bibles, their prayer time, they neglected their children. They neglected their husbands. They neglected their wives. They neglected their home life. Listen, God did not tell you to get so caught up in Never Never Land that you can't function in the earth. You're here right now. When he comes back and takes us, you won't have to worry about it no more. But I got news for you. If you study your Bible when we get to heaven, it's not going to be floating on no cloud, having somebody to put grapes in your mouth while you relax on some kind of a swing or something like that, leaning back in a hammock. It don't work that way. If you study the Word, every one of us is going to have a job to do in the kingdom. I don't know if I want to go to that. Well, you don't want the alternative, I can tell you that. Amen. You think it's busy here? You wait till the trumpet sounds and we go to heaven. He's got you a place of working in his kingdom. Can you prove that out of the Bible? Oh, yes, I can. Yes, I can. You're going to be busy. The good news is you ain't going to get tired. You don't have to fight an alarm clock. You're not going to wake up and go to what God wants you to do every day, sick, hurting, in pain. And you're going to enjoy what he assigns you to. Amen. I was reading last night, greater is he that's within us, 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world. And one of the things that's in us is the Holy Spirit, and he has nine gifts and nine fruits. Now, listen to this. This will help you. Out of those fruits, one of them is joy. I just hate my life. Are you born again? Yeah, I'm born again, but I hate my life. Then that's not God's problem, that's yours. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit of joy is not you trying to get joy to operate. It's God already has it in the Holy Spirit in you. You just need to tap into it. You don't have to manufacture joy by doing certain things to get happy. You already have the gift of joy in you, along with the other eight fruits of the Spirit. They're in there. What do? I spend more time with God's Word. I listen to Him more. I pray a little bit more. I might talk to Him a little bit more. I understand what His Word says more, and it builds up more of a desire for me, and the more desire that I get in me, the more my joy becomes full. And on those really crabby days, when I want to quit, when I want to give up, guess what? I can reach down inside the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit turn joy loose in me. Do you think it's easy being a pastor even of 100 people? It's not. Always somebody upset. Always somebody mad. Always somebody discouraged. Always. And the list just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And my job is to be there to help you the best that I can with the help of the Holy Spirit. I need my joy. Because there's some days I want to look at some people and say, take two scriptures and don't call me for 2 weeks. Maybe three. But that's not what I have to do. So what do? I reach down inside of me and let the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now watch back up here. He said, the land where you go in verse 11 to possess it is a land full of valleys and hills and drink of water, the rain is heaven. Now this is twofold. This is, number one, a natural rain. Same when we go down here talking about the oil and the corn and the wine and so forth. It is a natural. But it's also a supernatural. Joel said in Joel chapter 2 and the last days, and Jesus talked about in the book of Acts, and so did Peter in Acts chapter 1 and Peter in Acts chapter 2, that in the last days God will pour out his Spirit. Amen? This is also prophetic of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Wine and water and all these things and oil represent the move of the Holy Spirit for us today. He gives us two types of provision. He gives us the natural provision. Philippians 4:19 says what? My God shall. Didn't say he might. He said he shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus paid the price. It's already been taken care of. I don't have to do anything to get it except for ask and be obedient to his word. Amen. Well, I'm not living a sinful life. No, but are you standing in faith? You can be disobedient to God's word by saying one thing and doing another. Every time I turn around, I do it too sometimes. I say, I believe I receive. And I name it all off. And then the next day I get up and my body don't feel real good, or somebody calls me up and chews me out on the phone and threatens to quit the church and this, that, and the other. And I hear myself say something different. What did I just do? I just negated, made null and void what I had been confessing positively yesterday. You, all of us, you need to remember there is a spiritual law. There is a spiritual realm. And here's what happens. When we continue to speak the wrong things and do the wrong things, these things take resident in the spirit and the enemy. The Word of God says Satan will trip you up and trap you with your own words. But if I continue to confess God's Word, God sends angels to take what I speak and cause them to begin to come to pass. It's really up to me. You still with me this morning? It's really up to me. And so many of us have never been taught the power of speaking God's word faithfully and regularly. All we hear is negative, negative, negative coming out of our mouths. And you're going to sooner or later run into a bumper crop, a bumper harvest of what you've been saying. So how about reversing it and start confessing what God's word says and render it null and void and send it back to the sinner from which it came? How many of you want a bumper crop of some of the stuff you've been saying about your life lately? Amen. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Hallelujah. God is good. Now watch. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, God says, I'll set before you this day a blessing. Now go to chapter 26 through 28 in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's read on down here. Matter of fact, just hold up on 28 for a minute. Now watch this. I'm going to go ahead and finish this up a little bit. I hadn't planned on doing this morning, but we'll do it. It says here in verse 16. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the Lord's wrath would be kindled against you and shut up the heavens. In other words, the blessings will stop. That there be no rain, either naturally or spiritually, and that the land yield not her fruit, talking about naturally or spiritually, and lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. In other words, the blessings will just dry up. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontless between your eyes. Now, what does that mean? Notice it says, line them up with your heart and your soul. Most people do not understand that your soul is different from your spirit or your heart. Your soul and your heart are not the same. Your spirit, when God refers to your heart, he's not referring to that physical pump. He says, believe with your heart, you'll be saved. Can you believe with the physical pump and get saved? No. It's referring to what Paul the Apostle calls the hidden man of the heart, the real Paul, the real you. You are a spirit that came from God, that lives in a physical body, and you possess a soul. What is the soul? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. It is your reasoning capacity. That's why that Paul also wrote, keep this clean with the washing of the water of the word, because at the end of the day, time you've heard the news, time you've been to work, time you've had a fight with your neighbor, time you and your husband had a big blow up, whatever, you've got to go and wash this out. But it does not change your spiritual condition as far as salvation, because your heart's in there. He says, put the word in your heart and put the word in your soul. Now here's how this works. I read the word of God. It gets in my spirit, man. And that helps me think better. When things come against me, when things attack me, I'm able to overcome those negative thoughts. 1 Corinthians over there tells us what? It tells us to, is it 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5? Or 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5? I'm to cast down strongholds against the thoughts of my mind. This will get me in trouble. When I start giving in to my mind, I will get in trouble. I have to keep this cleaned up with the word. What does that mean? I read the word. I quote the word. I confess the word. And that will build up my spirit in faith. And faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17. And hearing by what? The word. And as I get my spirit man built up, then it will help me get rid of the junk that's coming against my mind, because my mind is the number one enemy that I've got. Satan cannot knock me off if my mind is under the control of the Holy Ghost. How many of you understand that? Amen? My mind has got to stay in line with the Holy Ghost living in me so that I don't trip and fall when these negative thoughts come to me. You're no good. This ain't going to work. You're going to die of that. That's going to happen. Your wife's going to leave. That's going to do this. You've got to bring that under control. And you can't bring it under control without the word of God. There was an advertisement on the TV late at night that says, you can't beat addiction by yourself. You need help. You can't control this mind without this. You need help. You need help. Now, what's what he says? He says that we've got to lay up these words in your spirit, your heart, in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand. What does that mean? I put my hands busy doing what the Word of God tells me to do. Are you hearing me? Whatever, we're talking about doing God's way. Everything that I need to do, He tells me in His Word. And if I will do those things, it's not salvation that's at stake. It's my blessings that are at stake. It's my health that is at stake. It's my marriage that's at stake. It's the ministries at stake. It's my finances that are at stake. That's what's at stake, not my salvation. I am saved. I'm on my way to heaven. It doesn't matter about that part. It is my other things, blessings, that are at stake. And if I do what God's Word says, those blessings are going to run and overtake me. Satan will not have his field day in my life. You know, I'm going to say this. Saul, the king of Israel, good king for a while, but got a little bit big-headed, and God told him something to do. And he didn't do it, and then he came back to the old prophet of God, and he said, what is this I hear, the bleating of the sheep and the cows and all that? What did you do? You were told to go in there and get rid of all those people that God said kill off. And he turned around and blamed it on the people. He said, well, the people, they wanted to keep the best sacrifices. But he was the king and he was a leader and he'd been told by God what to do. Now listen to me. It goes on to say that he turned around when the old prophet Samuel looked at him and said, rebellion. Now catch this. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Well, I got a stubborn person in my life. You better get that out. If you're stubborn to God's word, God looks at it as witchcraft. He really does. That, I didn't say it. It says that in black and white. Right here in the Word. If you get so rebellious, you refuse to do things God's way, you'll wind up like Saul where everything gets stripped away. Because of his refusal to do it God's way, his rebellion, God stripped him of the kingdom and gave it to a young man named King David. Now listen to me carefully. Husbands and wives, people that's in love, you listen to me carefully. Satan will do everything he can to attack your relationships. Marriage is the first institution that God established. And the only other institution he established is in the book of Acts, chapter 2, where he started and established and is still running the church today. And those are the two areas he wants to destroy. The scripture says, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? You hear me? You must be in agreement. And there can't be two heads in the household. Anybody ever seen a snake with two heads? Or a calf born with two heads? Or a sheep? We call them a freak. They're not normal. They're not natural. Anything with two heads butting against each other will fall. Listen to me carefully. That's called rebellion. That's called rebellion. You need to walk through life together in agreement. Let me tell you a story. This is for several of us. Don't anybody think I'm singling anybody out. I never do that. I've never done that, and I never will do that in the platform. But now God has brought it up in my heart, so I'm going to do this. When we were going through Bible college, my wife, being Chinese from another country, wanted to be a missionary to China. And she pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed to get me to give up what God had called me to do, to go with her to do her thing. On the last day of school, they excused all the men. And they brought in Mama, the big mama of the school, Mama Hagen. And she said, I have some things to say to the women. She said, if you're called to ministry and you are married, your husband's ministry is first. If you're called to a church, but your husband goes this way, your job is to follow him. And they had women stand up and start yelling at her over that. And she pointed her bony little finger at him and said, you need to sit down and hush and go read the word. Because God made the man the head of the household. You with me? Now, guys, you treat her right, she won't have a problem following you. But you can't put her down, talk condescending to her, lay hands on her, not biblically, say terrible things to her. There ain't a woman in her right mind who wants to follow that. But if you are in your place where you ought to be, she may not necessarily like where you're going, but she'll honor God and honor you. And God will then make her happen. Here's what happened with Pastor Ginger. She wanted so badly to be a missionary, but she followed her husband because she knew I was called to do what God's called me to do. Now, here's the thing. Because of her obedience to God, she got more than one, a lot of opportunities. She got called to go preach in other countries, in third world countries where women were not highly thought of. And every time they found out she was coming back to that country, the pastors would open their churches and book her to come in. In some of those churches, the women were not allowed to sit with their husbands. But then when the power of the Holy Ghost broke down in that place, they had healings, salvations, and miracles, and God promised her by following her husband, he would meet her desires. And to this day, she gets to go places anywhere she wants and preach in different countries. Now watch. Why? Because she was obedient to God's word. Now watch this. He tells us here, you shall teach them or bind them up for a sign upon your hand if you put your hands to God's work, that they may be as frontless between your eyes. In other words, keep always God's word in front of you. You shall teach them to your children. Boy, it concerns me sometimes the stuff our kids are learning in their homes. Now, can I say this to you? If you don't want your kid to come up here and embarrass you, careful what comes out of your mouth at home. You cuss, they'll cuss. I hear small children in the back room back there blurt something out. I say, where'd you learn that? Well, mommy says it all the time. Or daddy says it all the time. Then you go confront mom and dad, said, you know what your kids did? No, we didn't do that. Well, where did they learn it then? Some of these aren't even school-age kids yet. So it can't be a school. They'll tell off. Kids are imitators. Live the life before them. You won't have to worry about them. Now, I don't know why I'm in all this morning, but somebody must need to hear this. Now, watch. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, constantly be putting the word into your children. Yeah, it doesn't matter where I go to church. Oh, but I beg to differ. It matters where you go to church. Where you go to church must line up with an uncompromised truth out of God's word. You need pastors who will not compromise to fill the seats. Jeremiah tells me I have a responsibility. Ezekiel tells me I have a responsibility. Timothy tells me I have a responsibility. And the list goes on and on. And my responsibility is to teach you word that'll make your life better. And if I compromise it just to get 300 people in here, One day I'll turn this church over to him and he's going to get on my case, not yours. Ezekiel tells me in the 3rd chapter that if I don't tell you the truth and you go out and mess your life up, your blood is on my hands. I take what I do very seriously. And I don't tell you anything that's not in here. If I can't read it to you right out of here, I'm never going to do it. Because it scares me to think what I would, what kind of damage I would do to you if I told you something just because I wanted to keep you here. Now watch, he says this. Thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of your heart or your house and upon thy gates. In other words, Ginger and I know in our house. But most importantly, he's talking about the doorpost of your heart, your life, your spiritual life. That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to give unto your fathers to give them. Now watch this. As the days of heaven on the earth. Did you know we can have as close to heaven while we're living this life that we're going to get till he comes back? If we're obeying his word, he'll make your days blessed. Didn't say it wouldn't be without a challenge, but he'll make it blessed. Now watch this. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations or enemies from before you, and you shall possess greater nations or greater blessings and mightier than you than your own selves. And every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness to Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the uttermost parts of the sea, shall be yours. There shall no man or no enemy be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, and he shall say, as he hath said unto you, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods or other interests or other pursuits which you have not known. Now let me just say to you, this part about wherever place you put your feet works. This ground where this church is built right now, when we spotted this piece of property, it was within, actually it was out of our reach on budget, but it's the closest thing we could get. We prayed about it, and the Lord spoke, said, go out there and walk the field. Go around it 7 times. So I gathered up all 15 of us, and we came over here, called up the man who owned the property. He let us come out here, and he said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to walk that land. He said, you know, there's snakes out there. I said, it's okay. God will protect us. He said, well, that grass is up to your necks. I said, I know. So me and a few of them out here that braved it, we started at one end. We went all the way down the fence line, all the way back over here, and all the way back over here, and all the way back. We did that 7 times. We said, angels, in Jesus' name, you protect this piece of property. I don't care how many times he tries to sell it. That is our land. He sold it 3 times, and all 3 times it came back to us because it was ours. We had stood on his word. We had possessed it before we ever had physical possession of it. By faith, we came out here and prayed that we believed that we received it. At the moment that we prayed, we released angels to stand guard around this, and we said, no one will own this property but Living Word Christian Church. The day he sold it to us, he cussed. He was so mad because 3 deals fell through, and he'd call me up after every deal and say, Pastor, you still want that? Yes. And every time I would tell him, I've got $4,000 and you have to carry the notes. And that's what made him mad. He said, no, you got to go get your own money. $4,000 down, you carry the notes. Nope, not going to do it. $4,000, every time he'd call me, $4,000 down, and you carry the notes. Nope, I ain't going to do it. After the last time he had a cash deal, the man came down, laid his money down, and called up the next day and took it back. He said, I can't buy that property. I don't know why. I'm not supposed to buy that property. Got his money back. He called me the next day, and he was mad. He said, you still want that property? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, I know you got $4,000. You want me to carry those? Get up here at McDonald's. We'll draw up a contract. Then we get up there at McDonald's. We're sitting down to draw up a contract. He said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to knock $4,000 off too. Then he goes, did that come out of me? True story. Why? Because we possessed it by faith. What do you need God to do in your life? Your marriage? Possess it by faith. Your health? Possess it. Your finances? Possess it by faith. Believe that you receive it. Live God's word, and you won't have to worry about begging God for anything. He will give it to you. It will run and overtake you because he desires to give his kids what belongs to him. Jesus said we're heirs of God in Romans chapter 8 and joint heirs with him. Everything that belongs to Jesus in this earth belongs to me. And I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, according to Ephesians. The earnestness of the Holy Spirit is a down payment upon my spirit, man, till Jesus comes back. He's living in me. He says, I'm there, and now everything that belongs to the Father belongs to you. Remember the story of the prodigal son? One young man ran off, got in a mess, spent all of his inheritance, came back. His father hugged him. Killed the fatted calf, threw a big party, and welcomed him home. And the other son, who had never left and never strayed, got mad and said, you never threw a party for me. He said, son, let me tell you something. While you were here in my house, all this belongs to you. Everything in this earth that God owns, we're part of. Most of us don't live that way. Amen. What do I need to do to get it? Obey his word. I don't have to beg him for it. I don't have to keep repenting for salvation over and over and over again. I just simply obey his word. And he says, all these other things are going to come. I'm going to do it. Now, let's finish this up. Let you out today. I never even got off my first scriptures. I got a whole bunch of them here. Now watch. He said, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. He said it before us, a blessing if, everybody say if. If you do what? You obey God's word. A curse if, what? If you don't obey. And it shall come to pass, verse 29, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not all on the other side of Jordan, by the way, where the sun goeth down in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal, besides the plains of Moreh? For you shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth to you, and you shall possess it and dwell therein, and you shall observe to do all the commandments and judgments and statutes which I set before you this day. You know, it's not hard to serve God. He is not a very restrictive God. But he does have some stuff. He says, don't do this and you'll get blessed. Do these things in Deuteronomy 28 over there, and I'm not going to go over those today, says all these other things will come to you too. But you don't want no part of those. It's not hard. What do I need to do? Learn what God's word says. How do I do that? Spend a little time in it. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show it to you. How many of you like blessings? How many of you like being cursed? How many of you want the favor of God? How many want the favor of the enemy to tear your life up? Or the destruction of the enemy? It is your choice. Notice you said, I set before you this day. Make a choice. Make a choice. Make a choice. Make a choice. What do I need to do, Pastor? I need to finally figure out that God loves me. Now, how many of you got children in here? Grandchildren and so forth. How many of you know that when you tell them, don't run out in the street, you could get hit by a car and hurt you real badly, that you're doing that for who's good? They're good. How many of you know that when you tell your child, do not stick your finger in the light socket, that you're doing it for who's good? They're good. How many of you know when God says, don't do this because this will hurt you, Whose good is it for? Just because God is a big old mean God and he wants to just control our lives and beat us into submission? Nope. It's because he knows what will happen if you don't do it his way. Yeah, but I'm special. We all are. In the eyes of God, every one of us are. But just because we're special does not mean God's going to wink, turn his head, and pretend that we're not doing things. He's not going to let you off and someone else have to line up. You understand that, right? We're all under the same biblical word. And we all must live it God's way. But he did not make it hard. He sent Jesus to do it for you because he knows from time to time you're just going to flat blow it. But that doesn't mean because we do that we get to continue to do it. Scripture says once we have put our hand to the kingdom of God and we take our hand off and turn back into the world, he said, we're not even fit for the kingdom anymore. So what do? If we mess up, we repent. You know what repentance means? Father, I ask you genuinely to forgive me of this and give me the strength to do it your way. But that does not mean we get to go continue to do it. Repentance is a 180. It is not a 360. 360 means I come all the way back around to where I was and start all over again. A 180 means I'm in looking at my sins in the rear view, my mistakes. When I repent, I learn not to continue to make the same mistakes over again. Why? Because I want the blessings. When I call on him for finances, I need him to be there. When I call on him to touch me, I need him to be there. The Bible says he's quick to answer if we are lined up properly. All the way through his word, from start to finish, he tells us, do this, and I will do this. Do this, and the enemy will do this. I prefer the blessings over the curse. God never cursed me, but there is an enemy out here that will try to destroy you. Don't let him do that to you. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. Anybody in this church this morning will say, Pastor, I think I kind of needed to hear some of this. Let me see your hand. Put them up all over the building. Somebody reach over and pinch the other ones and wake them up. Look up here at me. Whether you like what I preached on this morning or not, I'm sorry. But it's God's word. It's God's word. You need to learn to trust him. Do it his way. And these things that we go out trying to make happen will just come. But if we just keep trying to do things our way to get those blessings, we generally will lose them. We really do. We do. If I try to manufacture my own blessings, I usually get in serious trouble. You know how I know that? Been there, done that. Took me a long time. I'm kind of hard-headed. I was stubborn. Then I ran across that scripture one day where it said it's stubbornness and rebellion is the same as witchcraft. My heart wasn't right, and I had to get rid of that, and I had to learn to do it his way. And I found out something. When I did, blessings started coming. And every time I stepped off that path, I ended those blessings till I got it right. This sounds like legalism to me, Pastor. Works. No, it's not. This is not about salvation. This is about your blessings. If you choose to live without blessings, that's entirely up to you. But I choose to live with them. I like going to Sam's and having somebody I've never met load my basket up. I like to go down to the mailbox and get a check in the mail from somebody I hadn't seen in years. I like those things. I like whenever I get ready to go buy something that I go down to the store and it's marked down 50% off and they mark it another 50% off when I get to the counter because I'm doing things God's way. I like going into restaurants or into Maverick and get up there and go to pay my bill and somebody else that don't know me from Adam has already covered it. I like those things. Those are blessings. Last year, Ginger and I, because the economy was so bad, we just stopped taking a salary pretty much. We got paid a little here and there. We began to pray and say, okay, Lord, the church has to pay its bills. We can't do both. At the end of the year, when we did our taxes, we found out that we didn't just have every need met, but we were actually ahead. I look at it now and go, oh my God, how did God do it? But I don't question. I don't question. He promised he'd take care of me in the drought. We actually come out a couple thousand ahead of what we ordinarily would have made. That's God. Why do you get these blessings? Because Ginger and I make a practice out of doing his word. Don't just be a hearer of the word, James 1:22 says, but be a what? A doer. Stand your feet. I need mushers up here. We're going to get our building fund offering. Somebody said, you take up two offerings? You don't get taken up a single other offering the whole week. We stopped taking up offerings in the middle of the week a long time ago. We do it all on Sundays and trust God for it. And why do we take up second offering? Because a lot of people don't get to get here on time. And they would like to be able to put their offering in too. And the fact all this goes to the building. Any repairs, anything that we need to do, we need to take up this offering today. And I need you to dig deep because the church needs a new computer. $600 minimum. I need everybody that will to dig deep and help us get it. This is not for me and Ginger. This is not for anyone personally in the church. But we have our church books on our computer, and the computer has given up the ghost. We need a new one. We've been pricing, trying to get the best one for the best price. It's going to take about $599 to do this. Everyone that will, please help us purchase this new computer. Amen? That goes to the building. Amen? So let's do it right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, all these people are generous. They're good people. And your word says, Father God, if we give to you, you bless us. So, Father, this is not about me and Ginger. You know that. We never take up offerings for us, never have, never will. This is about a need for the church to be able to function and do what the church needs to do. So we thank you for that, Father. We call that computer paid for in full in Jesus' name. Now, if you haven't given your tithe this morning or your offering, you had to get here a little late, or if you want to donate to this computer, do so now. Wait till the people get behind you, the ushers get at the back of the door. Go greet some people, especially the new people. Make them feel welcome and vibe back. Now remember, next Sunday we're having the fellowship. Walk by the big door, right at the big door. Look to the right. You can't miss it. There's a great big white board out there that says, please sign up here for the fellowship next week. Amen. If you don't see that, something wrong with you. Love you all.